podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration.
Silly mistakes again.
Full of despair.
I don't even know if I'll have a club tomorrow.
From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation.
It could be League Two next season.
Bolton are down, Norwich are down.
Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory.
Get in!
Pride.
Been a joy to watch.
Passion.
Nanny!
In search of silverware.
MLS Cup champions, baby!
And they found...
ATL.
Orlando!
Major League Soccer.
Welcome to the MLS UK show. It's Henry here for the latest of our isolation interviews. And I'm delighted to say joining us is Chris Cadden from Columbus Crew. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, Bob, but I'm getting there.
Well, this is what we want to know is that with you guys in MLS and footballers in general, what have you been doing to pass the time?
Well, there's not really anything you can do apart from just sort of keeping fit, just sort of keeping yourself ticking over. The big unknown, the big uncertainty, where we don't know when we're coming back. I know the MLS season has been suspended and the training has been suspended. It's just you don't know when you're coming back. So there's nothing really you can do but just to sort of keep yourself ticking over and keep yourself fit.
So is this your life now? You're just waiting for your bosses or people at MLS to just inform you of what's happening?
Yeah, it was the first sort of week or so, it was when it was all new. It was everything was honestly changing day by day. You were just sort of opening up your laptop and just waiting for an email to see what the script was. But now it's sort of changing sort of weekly, and you're that's what I'm saying. You're just sort of waiting and just waiting about. But the crew, Columbus Crew, have been unbelievable with it. We've been on conference calls. We've been talking to most of the boys in the team and that, and just keeping everybody sort of in the loop, and we're getting conference calls where there's like 40 people on the call, and we're all chatting and getting what's best and what's best to do, so that when the season does start back up, that we're ready to go.
So you was actually on one of these conference calls before we chat right now.
Yeah.
Is there any of the lads that are a bit like tardy to it, a bit of the lads that are a bit late, or you can tell we're doing something else in the background?
No, so what they do, you need to mute your phone, so you don't really know what the boys are doing in the background, but I think there's going to be a sort of a Zoom call or maybe something like that, so you can actually see what people are doing to sort of get a face-to-face. But no, the conference calls are good, and they're sort of something you do. That's basically what my day's been around, the days waiting for the conference call.
I can imagine what the crew have set up for you in terms of a training regime and your diet and stuff like that. Has that changed over the process of this? Because I guess at the start you may have thought, oh, it might be 2 weeks, but now it's looking like it's going to be two, maybe 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long period of time, and it's hard to sort of keep yourself going and train yourself. There's only so many press-ups you can do in the house, and only so many, like, training yourself and things like that. It's difficult, but as soon as an athlete, you've got to do, and you've got to keep ticking over. But the crew have been great. They send us meal plans. They even bought our dinner the other night, so we were having a delivery, and you had to go on a website, and you picked what you wanted, and the crew paid for it all, and you got it delivered to your house. So, do you know what I mean? They've not left any stone unturned, and they're doing everything they can to keep us going. But it's just a mental situation that you don't really know when it's going to end, and I can't wait. You really miss normality, and you realise you take for granted your sort of day-to-day schedule.
Yeah, because I guess for you guys in MLS, whereas, you know, back in the UK, it's nearly the end of the season, but with you guys, you've only just started, so it's kind of like another pre-season again.
Yeah, I think that's what the talks are going to do. I think there's going to be a wee build-up before the sort of first game, so it was weird enough doing pre-season in January, so it'll be a bit more normal for me to do pre-season in June, if that's when it comes, or whenever May is. But it's yeah, that's what they're talking about doing another pre-season. So having to do that again after only playing two games is crazy. But listen, it's what it is. And the main thing now for me is, I mean, football does seem like the most important thing in the world sometimes, but right now it's not, is it really? It's everybody's health and keeping this virus at a minimum and saving lives, really. I know the NHS back home is doing a great job and with that and staying and hope everybody's sort of sticking to the guidelines. I've just sort of done the lockdown back home, so hope everybody's doing that and staying home, because that's the most important thing just now.
Yeah, of course, and especially with the comments of the NHS, we echo that as well. Were you ever tempted to come back home when it all started?
Yeah, so it was when it was sort of a week to week basis when it was changing our day to day. I was just sort of staying put, just seeing what happening. But once it sort of the league got suspended, I was straight on the phone to sort of the people on the team and asking about maybe me coming home just to see my family and things like that, because I'm out here myself, my girlfriend's back home, I'm in this flat myself, and just sort of for my own peace of mind, just to be around people and maybe go see my family and stuff. But I spoke to the doc out here, and because New York's been hit really, really bad with it, apparently, that was usually my route home. So I'd go from Columbus to New York, New York to Glasgow. But because New York's shut down, I would have to go from Columbus to Chicago, Chicago to London, London to Glasgow. So I told the doc that, and he was like, listen, he didn't think that was safe. So I've just sort of staying here for the time being and keeping myself busy.
Yeah, it's such a strange situation, and of course you must be, you know, you're not only looking at what's happening in the States and that's your immediate concern, but you must also be looking at what's happening back in the UK and have concern for your family and your girlfriend as well.
Yeah, no, because they've done the lockdown in the UK there, so it's weird because everybody's, all my mates and all my family, everybody's talking about like only be able to leave the house once a day for exercise and things like that, but it's not as strict here right now anyway. We're not in full lockdown yet. It's you're still allowed to leave the house, you're still allowed to do things like that. You're obviously recommended to stay indoors, but you can still, I've been going down to a local park every day and just sort of doing running there and things like that, but we're still, it's not as strict as of yet, but yeah, it's just a crazy situation. And speaking to my dad and my brother as well, they're sort of locked in the house, and it's just obviously concern for them, and just hoping that everyone stays safe. And I'm speaking to everybody every single day, and they phone me as well to make sure I'm all right.
So let's get to a more positive, you know, bit of content. Then let's have a look at how a lad from Bells Hill in Scotland, who's played over 100 times for Motherwell in the SPL, has managed to get himself to the US. So where did this come about? When did you first hear about it? And what were your thoughts when you got told that you could be signing for an MLS club?
Yeah, so obviously I'm actually from Motherwell, so that's sort of where I played. And so I played there and absolutely loved it. And it was sort of my hometown team, and that was my dreams growing up, was to play there and do it. When I'd done that, it was a dream come true, really, and be able to do that so many times was a real privilege and a real special moment. But so I was coming at the end of my contract, and you know, I had a bad injury. So I was out for about 4 to 5 months. So I was just sort of getting my rehab back. And and I just heard about the interest with Columbus Crew, and my agent phoned me and told me all about it. And first of all, I went on Google and typed Columbus. I didn't have a clue what it was. And then I went on, looked at the club, and then I just spoke to a few people from the club. I spoke to Pat Onstad, who's the sort of technical director here. And and the head of scouting over here is a boy called Neil McGuinness, he's Scottish as well. He's actually from Motherwell as well. He's from round about my area. So I was speaking to them and the way they spoke about the club, and once I had a research into it, my mind was sort of made up pretty early doors, and it was a new experience that I wanted to take. And with all the good things happening here, we've got a new stadium coming next year, we've got a new training facility coming, but the club's really, really on the up here, and it's something that I want to be a part of. And it was a great opportunity for me to come out here, and when I just spoke to these people and they sort of told me all about it, there was nothing I wanted to do more than come out here and experience it.
You come from a football family, don't you? So what was your dad who played and your brother plays in Scotland, what were their reaction when you told them you were going to go over?
It was pretty similar, because it was never really in my mind about MLS at all until sort of Columbus came. when I spoke with my, because my agent, my dad, we've got a group chat, so we, the three years we're in constant contact. My dad's been a massive sort of impact on my career, and he's advised me in all my moves, and if he didn't think this was a good move, then I probably wouldn't be here. That's sort of how much an impact he's got on it. So I spoke to them, I told them, and they also did their own research. They looked into what Columbus was like, what it's like as a place, what the MLS as a whole was like, and they were the same as me. They were like, listen, this is an opportunity that's a great opportunity that at a stage in my career as well, and I'm young, I've not really got any, not got kids and things like that back home, no sort of a tie, so to come over here and experience MLS, and it was something I was desperate doing as soon as, and they looked into it as well, and they were all for it as well.
And has your brother got any thoughts of maybe joining you over in MLS? Has he been jealous of your life so far?
I think he would absolutely love it. I've been talking up to him, and he would love nothing more to come out here. But no, he's doing well just now. He's at Morton, and he's doing really well just now. He actually just got player of the month, so it's been a nightmare time for him to the sort of league to take a break, because he was on a real good bit of form. But I think he would absolutely love it. I think he's going to come out in May he was going to come out in May when the season was done, to sort of see it and sort of come out for a little holiday. But hopefully he gets out sort of whenever he can, really.
You signed for Columbus last year and then went back on loan to Oxford. How did that come about?
Basically, Columbus were, so there's, you're probably aware, there's all sorts of rules and things like that with the roster they call out here, just with international players and things like that. So basically Columbus were interested and they wanted me to come out right away, but they couldn't get rid, so they needed an international roster spot for me to come out. They were trying to get that spot for me, but they couldn't get it. So I actually thought, right, I don't know what's going to happen here, but they spoke to us and they showed a, and they were great. They said, look, we still want you for next season. It's because they were halfway through the season when I signed, really. So would you be able to go out on loan, play games, and then come back in January for the start of the new season? And do you know what? See, looking back, it was probably a great decision, because I've just come back from an injury, and it was able me to play games and to be able to go to Oxford as well. Do you know, I absolutely loved my time there. We were playing well. I was doing well, and the gaffer was great with me there. And Oxford was a real, real great time that I absolutely loved, and I had no regrets about that whatsoever. It was a real, real good time for me and my career as well. So that's how it sort of came about. And then after that, it was when I went over to start pre-season in sort of January. So I always sort of had that in the back of my mind, I was going out. So, but no, Oxford were great, and absolutely loved my time there.
Yeah, because a few of the Oxford fans and a few of the Columbus fans, they're having a bit of beef on Twitter about where it were the better team for you to be at. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, but I was getting tagged in a few and stuff, and it was a good bit of viewing watching it.
Well, Oxford to Columbus is very different, but Scotland to Columbus, I can imagine the differences there are even greater. What have you missed from Scotland? Because I've seen you were bringing over some Iron Brew. Is there anything else, that's any more home comforts that you've brought over?
Yeah, I should probably say my family and things like that. I miss him the most, but apart from some home comforts, I didn't bring over, I love my Heinz baked beans, and I didn't bring any over, and I've been absolutely craving them for the past month or so. So next time somebody comes over, I'm going to get them to bring it. But just the little things, like all the American food's different, and it's getting used to it and things like that. And even my favourite restaurants back home and things like that, you do miss it, all your home comforts. But it's something that I've got used to now, and I do miss home, and I do miss Scotland a lot.
Do you think it'd be a challenge having to get Iron Brew and baked beans past the dietitians at work?
I've no idea. I'm just going to keep it quiet. I think that's what I'm going to do.
They must look and think, what's with this guy and these orange foods that he wants to eat?
Yeah, absolutely no idea. But I actually had a look for baked beans the other day, and I couldn't find them anywhere.
So you seem to have settled quite well. Obviously, what's happening at the moment is that you've had to really had to settle yourself anyway. But what's Ohio like as a place to live, and Columbus in particular, and how have the people been with you?
No, they've been great. First of all, every time you speak to somebody, they automatically ask where I'm from, because they've never heard what sort of, they've never really heard my accent before. So they've been great. So the people from Columbus especially, they've been great. And every time you go out and you start speaking to people, and they're so welcome and friendly. Before I came out, I actually spoke to, so I've got a good mate over in Vancouver, Andy Rose. So he was at Motherwell with me, mm-hmm. and he spoke to a few people for me about Columbus. I had not a clue what it was like. I had no idea. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what Highlight was like. And he spoke to a few people, and they says they absolutely loved it here, and everybody in the team loves it. And yeah, it's a real, real great place to live. And it's, I've just got an apartment just sort of downtown, they call it here, just sort of it's a place called Short North, where it's busy with restaurants, bars, things like that. And it's real lively as well, so it's a great place. And my girlfriend was over sort of a month ago, and she absolutely loved it as well. So it's a great place to live. And I didn't really expect it to be this good when I first came out. I expected to be a bit quieter, maybe a bit boring, but it's nothing like that. It's a real, real, real nice place to live.
So with MLS then, if I was to tell you a few months ago that we'd catch up at the end of March, I think you'd have been hoping to have played more than one game. But as we stand, it is only the one game. But what was your experience like in that game of MLS, and how does it differ from UK football?
Yeah, I came on twice actually, against home at, was it New York, and then away to Seattle, so they were completely different. So I came on at left wing, which I've never played before, and then left back in Seattle, which I've never played before. So in that respect, it was different. But the main thing is the travel. So Seattle, if you're obviously in the map, it's top left of the country, and we're sort of mid-east, and it was a travel. So we travelled the day before, because of the virus was just sort of kicking off. They wanted to stay in and out as soon as possible. So it was like a 7-hour flight before a game. And then after the game, you're in the bus, you're at the airport, and then you're flying home 7 hours again. So that sort of welcome MLS and the travel that is involved in it. And it's, yeah, that's something I'm going to need to get used to. But it's, that was really the main difference. And as well as the football, you can see there's some top quality players out here. I mean, as soon as I came and trained, you can see the quality here. We've just bought a boy, Lucas, for I think it was $8 million or whatever from the Mexican league, and this guy's next level. He's a top quality player. So it's you can tell the standard and the league has got some top players out here.
Did that surprise you at all? What was your impressions of MLS before you went?
No, so when you speak to a few boys out here, they say, oh, the people from like sort of the UK or whatever, they come out and think it's going to be easy. They think it's going to be sort of a walk in the park. But I never had that sort of mindset going in at any time. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was going to be a challenge. And that was one of the main reasons why I came out. I wanted to go and test myself. And I wouldn't have came if I didn't think it would, if I didn't think it'd be a good standard. So I've always been of the mindset that it's going to be a real, real good league with top quality players. So I've never had that sort of thought, but it's not surprising one bit. It's exactly what I thought it was and how good the standard is. And it's great to sort of train with these guys as well.
And before you go, Chris, we always kind of ask this question to players when they come on the show. And obviously, normally, your answer is one that you've had a few games in the season, or you've had half a season. You can kind of judge from there. But when I ask what do Columbus expect this year, what's Columbus's ambitions, I guess you have them in ambitions, but all those might have changed, and we don't know what's going to happen in the league so far.
Yeah, we have no idea. Our ambitions, I don't know. I think we're just sort of taking things as it comes and just sort of see how we are. It's quite a relative new group, and there's been a lot of signings in the sort of off season here. But we've signed some top quality players. I mean, Darlington Nagbe, he's like this guy's, I don't think I've seen him lose the ball yet in training. Even in training, he's a he's an honestly brilliant player. They've got the boy Lucas who we signed, and even the boys that we had before, like Pedro Santos, Jassy Zaldes. He's been around the league and been here for and scoring goals for seasons now. So if you look at our team and our bench as well, we've got some good players. So as long as we say stay fit and healthy and everybody sort of and playing well, then I don't know. We just sort of wait and see what happens and sort of take it as it comes whenever the season starts back.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a few of the players there that Columbus have picked up, and I know Caleb Porter was there last season, but it really seems like this season he's managed to stamp his what he wants for the team finally this year. And there's actually a lot expected of Columbus. You've had two good results to start with. So are you playing it down a bit there, or is a playoff push really what you guys should be getting this year?
Personally, myself, I'd be disappointed if we didn't get a playoff push. And then it's obviously it's a lottery whoever wins after the playoffs and things like that. But I'd be disappointed if we didn't get the playoff push. Me personally, I don't know if you speak to a few of the boys, they might think different. But that's my sort of feeling. And just looking about the changing room, and it's a real real good side, and it is a playoff side for me.
And how's Caleb been with you? He's a well-known manager across the league. Has he helped integrate you into not only the team but also US culture?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been great with me. He's spoke to me all the way through it. Even when I was in Oxford, they gave us a phone, things like that. And I know he kept up with what I was doing in Oxford and things. And he's been great with me. There's sort of no better manager to have just now in the way he sort of he makes sure everybody's integrated and he makes sure everybody feels at home, really, and as well with all his other staff. And you've got people in the background as well who, when you come out here, you've no idea where you want to live, you've no idea how to get a car, you've no idea, just little things like that you don't realise. I didn't realise until I came over, but they've been great with us and getting me settled, getting me sorted and things like that. So no, they've been great. And Caleb as well, he can tell he's a top gaffer. You can tell why he's got a championship behind him. And yeah, he's been magnificent with me, and I'm just thankful that I've got him.
This is the MLS UK show.
The MLS UK show with Lucid FC, a distinctively modern, casual fashion label. Take a look at lucidfc.us or lucidfc.co.uk and see why celebrities love the look. This season's current line is called What's Your Effing Club? Which is your F? Football, fashion, or film? If it's football, you're in the right place. Film, the MLS UK show podcast, is now available to watch on YouTube. But fashion, it's always lucidfc.us or lucidfc.co.uk.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK show.
So there we go, Chris Cadden on the MLS UK show. Thanks to Chris for joining us. And if you've missed any of our isolation interviews so far, then you can catch up on our YouTube channel. Just search MLS UK show. And also, if you go to your podcast provider, it's just MLS UK show as well. Remember to subscribe, because it really helps us out, and you also get a notification when something drops then. Thank you for joining us. Stay safe, and I'll see you again very soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.